Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome.
Howdy.
Okay. Thought we'd try something different today.
Joe's wearing his Halloween costume again with the
mini pearls. Did you notice the price tag hanging off the
right,
side of my hat?
And the hat with all the flair to it.
Yeah, yep. I just didn't have a chance to wear it on Halloween, so I thought I'd wear it in here today.
And a wig.
Well, the wig's necessary because it's cold out there.
Okay, so that's your hat. All right, it's funny how you don't wear a hat in the dead of winter, do you?
I do when I'm outside blowing snow.
Oh, okay. So you'll put a hat on. All right. Well, you don't have any insulation up there. That's why I remark. But that's a sign of pure manly wisdom, incidentally.
I burned it all off thinking.
That's what it was. All right. On the Mark sponsor.
Which would explain why you have a full head of hair.
Ah, that's a good one. It's National Dis Mark Lawrence Day on the radio today. On the Mark sponsor by the Sunbury Motor Company. You can check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. You can call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. We were talking about traffic earlier today. Danville's got the longest lines in history. It's funny how when Duke Street backs up, everybody gets up in arms and we get all kinds of texts and emails. But Danville, they have to wait 20 minutes to get into Danville every morning on Route 11 North and Route 54 West. I think if PennDOT were ever going to do some sort of volume studies and how to solve that dilemma, it would be very much needed and probably appreciated by the folks who are waiting in line. One of our listeners, after I said, I'm not sure how long you wait to get in that line on Route 11, she says it just took 18 minutes to go 1 mile on Route 11 to the red light at Route 54. Now, that line starts at Bald Top Road, but it's not like
a
normal line.
It's a tough intersection there. You've got how many major roads? One, two, three.
It's not the intersection, it's the school.
The school?
Yes, yeah, with the middle school right there. The entrance to the middle school.
Is that what's holding everything up?
Right.
I thought it was the intersection, because I've been in lines at that intersection. Lights take forever, and
I guess that is part of it. But afternoon rush hour, you don't really see exceedingly long lines there. It's the school traffic that stops the traffic and bus traffic going through there that causes
the dilemma. So it's only in the morning,
dilemma.
Just around school time.
It's never as long any other time as it is between 7:30 and 8 o'clock.
So, okay.
And same with Route 54 westbound. They get backed up all the way to Boyd Station Road. If you're familiar with that, that's got to be a mile out of town, or maybe a little more out of town.
Leave for work early.
Right. That's what folks have to do. There's no real logical bypass. It doesn't make sense to go up to Bloomsburg and, you know, cross the river on Route 42.
How about going up through Riverside?
You can do that, but
it's a longer run.
That leads you to the same traffic light that's gummed up. So
but
Sunbury
in another
Road,
direction.
Right. You would be approaching it from another direction. Would have a shorter line but a longer drive, so I'm not sure if that would be better. But I think, honestly, since Danville's booming and Geisinger's going to keep growing, I think really it's incumbent upon PennDOT to come up with a solution. They're going to need another lane going in on Route 54.
Are one they that all state roads?
Route 54 11 is.
11 and 54, but the borough roads are not controlled by PennDOT.
I didn't say they were.
Well, I know you didn't, but they're part of the problem, aren't they?
And I think they could be part of the solution if if you could somehow transform your car and go at the end of, you know, somehow transport it to the end of Mill Street. You have options. You could go down Mill Street or down, I think it's like River Road or
well,
First Street.
No one of their distinguished members of Borough Council, perhaps he should take the lead.
Well, it's not in their community. The line would be in Riverside, but I'm sure there's folks in the township in Riverside.
Well, you just said Danville. You wanted Danville to have a solution.
Well, okay. Well, I don't think Danville's going to have to. They don't have to. Once you get dumped in Danville, it kind of works out okay.
Oh, you don't get dumped in Danville? Danville's a nice place.
But when you come off the Danville Riverside Bridge, you are free at last. You have
Mark
choices.
Mark Lawrence says Danville is a dump.
You can go straight. You can turn right. If you turn right, you have choices. So.
Yeah, well, okay.
So anyway, all right, enough about traffic. And also, there's a mishap on the 83, 322, 283 split down there. So watch for slow going there. Check Google Traffic before you head out.
All right.
Thank you for the email. This came from one of our good listeners. I don't see it as signed, but JM is the initial, so thank you. Appreciate that.
Did you vote this morning? No, you didn't. You were here.
The polls opened while I was at work.
I did.
Oh, yeah.
The new Snyder County machines look very similar to the old ones. The paper ballot that you fill out to put in the machine is identical to the way it was before, and the cardboard folder they give you to put it in the machine is the same as it was before.
Okay.
So $1 million, and it doesn't look any different to me than it did. I hope it's worth it. I know from Commissioner Kantz that he doubted it was.
What is the purpose, then? What's the difference?
The governor. The governor decided we should have new voting machines that have a paper trail. Well, I think we always did have a paper trail.
Wouldn't you always have had your little card? Or
yeah,
do you
well,
not
we have
get
the
to
paper
keep it?
You have the paper. No, you don't keep the paper ballot. You put that into the machine or the scanner that reads it.
Okay, and then they keep it.
Yes.
Okay, so you always had a paper trail.
A paper trail,
all
yes.
those ballot
right, we
cards.
Did, yes. I don't know why Snyder County had to change, so.
How did you fill out the paper ballot with
Same as always, with a pen. They put pens there or pencils.
And you mark it with a pen.
Yeah, they're little round ovals, and you just fill in the oval. And
I'm sorry, I've never voted in Snyder County.
Well,
so.
That's good, because you'd be doing it illegally.
Yeah, boy.
But I don't know how the turnout was going to be. I was there about 7:10, and we were number 9, so 8,
that's
9.
That's not bad.
No. But it's we'll see how these new voting machines go.
Can the election workers vote?
Well, certainly.
So they would just take a turn
you
at the machine?
You don't get disenfranchised because you're an election
worker. A volunteer. Well, maybe. But do you always work in your own precinct?
Not always. No.
Okay.
They can move you around from time to time.
Yeah. God bless election workers. What do they put? Like,
I know.
12, 13-hour day?
And well, I know Pat Nace had a lot of trouble finding some people for Shamokin Dam for a while, but now they seem to have a good crew. So.
Well, why don't you do that?
I'm an elected official. I don't know that I can.
Oh, okay.
Maybe you can.
Well, it would be very beneficial when you're running for mayor. Well,
but yeah, right. I can stand there. Hey, vote for me. You're not allowed to do that, Mark.
I guess there's rules. Everything I want to do, there's rules against.
Yes, isn't that a shame? And speaking of rules, we have some unexpired texts from yesterday, do we not?
Yep, we got those. I did introduce the show. Yep, we're good to
you
go.
You did.
Go
yes, ahead. You did. Yep. And these were in relation to Chris's call yesterday, I think. One says, really, Chris, why wasn't your story about what you say Trump asked Ukraine to do in 2017 in the Mueller report? I'll tell you why. It didn't happen. Examples, Chris, come on, give us crimes committed. You can't. And the rules the Democrats and only the Democrats voted on give the president no due process, unlike the due process Clinton got when impeached for an actual offense, or crime, rather.
Okay.
And I want to hear what the witnesses in this impeachment farce said, not read it on paper. This whole farce needs to bring lights of truth shining on it.
All right. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Chris was talking about the fact that the president has committed many crimes, and all of which are impeachable, not the least of which, I think, is the violation of the emoluments clause that should prohibit you from profiting from being the president. But if he didn't do it yesterday, when did it? When did he? He uses his official Twitter feed to promote his son's book. Now, why is that not ingratiating yourself? I mean, there's no foreign entity involved. But why is that not profiteering on the...
Did Oprah profit when she had her book club and every book she promoted made a lot of money?
And she's an elected president?
No, but I'm saying that you don't give up your rights to make comments about books you've read or things you're doing just because you're the president of the United States.
So you see no conflict in the fact that he promotes his son's books using the White House Twitter feed?
It's his Twitter feed.
Right,
from the White House.
But now it is the official
He's
presidential.
He's not allowed to block anybody from it.
No. Right, it's the official presidential Twitter feed, President of the United States.
I watched
States.
Fox and Friends this morning. They're promoting Brian Kilmeade's new book about the Alamo, which I intend to buy.
And they're president also. So they.
No.
So all these
but
people.
You're talking about.
Only one person is the president.
You're talking about just everyday things. If my son has written two books.
Mm-hmm.
So if I mention here on the air that my son has written two books, which you can get on Amazon.com, you know, does that make, am I enriching myself?
Do you have beans in your ear or something?
No, I think you've got them in your nose.
You're not the president of the United States using the official
platform. What I'm saying is he's a
person.
He's also a person.
But if you were had the mayor's gavel and you said, I'd like to open the meeting with a prayer, do you guys open with a prayer?
No.
Okay.
Well,
a Pledge of Allegiance. Okay. And before you sit down, I would like to promote my son's book and hold up a copy and say, as mayor, I would like you to read this book. Do you think that's proper?
Well, I wouldn't do it, but I don't think it's improper.
Really? Joe McCranahan. Oh, your defense of this president knows no bounds.
If one of the councilmen has had written a book, I'd be happy to hear about it.
Unbelievable. Okay. Well, all right. Maybe I'm just ultra-sensitive towards the nation's laws.
But you said emoluments. I mean, the thing that bothers me...
Yeah, I'm not sure that's the right clause.
I forget who was it who said, show me a politician who's a millionaire and I'll show you a crooked politician. You know, that could be the case.
That's their nature.
Where do they get all this money? I'm more concerned about what they do after they leave office. Suddenly they're charging $500,000 for a speech, and these people who say they left the office broke are now multimillionaires buying $19 million estates at one place or another. When Harry Truman, when they asked him to serve on a board and offered to pay him big money, a corporate board after the election, or after he was out of office, he said, "You don't want me. You want the President of the United States, and that office is not for sale."
Nice.
Yes. Harry Truman was a man much to be admired.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We started out talking about some traffic gum-ups, including a big wreck down on 83-322-283 split. We also talked about Riverside's traffic. Now we're talking about the impeachment, but we'll take all comers on an Open Phones Tuesday. 1-800-795-9565. Frank, first caller in the morning. What's on your mind today?
Oh, the traffic. That's interesting. I live near the rural road that you just mentioned, and the buffer is like back in the town that there's about 14,000 cars daily on that road, on 54, where it does funnel down into the narrows. Initially, there was a concept for the bridge to be crossing over the river to connect to the state property, and that was the argument, and there was quite a bit of, lawyers were really trying to get that bridge relocate, because most every a great deal of that traffic just does the hairpin turn to go up Route 11, and it bottlenecks. And the school, yeah, that's a major problem. But they could have alleviated a good chunk of the traffic had they put the bridge further upriver. Maybe 40 years from now, they'll rethink that through. Geisinger keeps getting bigger. And
well, and I think in PennDOT's favor, they're going to say, okay, so when is the traffic line? 7:30 to 8 o'clock. How long is the traffic line? It's got to be at least a mile long. When is it also backed up? And the answer would be never. So it's just that half hour, especially when there's school, but other times too,
yeah,
or other mornings also. I'm not sure a half hour long wait would be enough to call for a new bridge. It might take 40 years.
Yeah. They could put a light at the school. That would make a difference. There is a great deal of congestion there. But, yeah, I've lived here for 30-some years, and I see it. And I'll tell you, when the Knoebels Park grew with all the coasters, and, they'd be back from the Elysburg side down 54, like the Crest Haven Market. And I'm back further in there. But, yep. It's urban creep, though. But I thought that bridge might have been a good idea.
All right. We got you. Thank you so much. Appreciate the call.
Right.
It is Open Phones Tuesday. We had some exceedingly long lines at a couple of towns today, Danville and Northumberland and Harrisburg. So we got onto the subject of traffic when I was making remarks earlier today on Sunrise. Now we're on the mark. We have open phones, 1-800-795-9565. Tom, stand by. We have to take a quickie break to stay on schedule. We will be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
You heard the snare drum. That means it is time for us to resume the WKOK Live telephone talk show on the mark. One line occupied, but more open. 1-800-795-9565. Chris asked the question, what law has the president broken? I can't think of any law he hasn't broken, but I'm sure there must be some sort of a codified list getting ready. Tom, you are on the mark. Go right ahead.
Well, I called to call Joe.
Joe's here, too.
Joe, I'm calling him out. He said on the show not too long ago, it was in a week or so, that if they opened up the impeachment legally, if they voted on it and opened it, and they opened up the impeachment, that if they withheld information, or if he told people not to testify, he said that he would say that Trump has to be impeached.
No, I didn't say that. I said he needs to be held
accountable.
Now, let me finish. I said he needs... Wait a second. Would you put him on hold a minute? I said he needs to be held accountable, and he does. He needs to cooperate with the process. If it's unfair, the Republicans hopefully will be in a position to defend him. And while he didn't get everything he asked for, does at least have it out in the open and before the committee, and he has the right to present witnesses and offer testimony. So I think he needs to cooperate with the investigation.
And he refuses to comply with subpoenas. That's another law broken, emoluments clause and the court laws.
He told four people that were supposed to testify yesterday, and none of them did because he told them not to.
Is he claiming executive privilege? I thought maybe he was claiming executive privilege, which will be something for the courts to decide, I think.
But, Joe, you're trying to talk your way out of it.
No, I'm not.
You told me exactly, and yeah, if I have to go through every goddamn show, I'm going to look this up.
Well, you go ahead and look it up, but I'm pretty sure I said that he needs to cooperate.
You told me that you said
I told you I didn't say I thought he ought to be impeached. I said if he does something wrong, he should be impeached.
No,
but I said
he
should cooperate.
If he doesn't obey by the rules and turn over information, and if he doesn't turn over information and doesn't and quits telling people that you would say he needs to be impeached. That's exactly what you said.
I said if he actually committed, if he actually broke a law, he needs to be impeached. Yes.
Joe, I'm 100% sure of what you said.
Well, you go back and
100% sure.
You go back and listen and give me the date.
I want to hear you say he needs to be impeached.
He doesn't need to be impeached until he's convicted or until he's actually.
I know you told me that you said you told me that he should be impeached.
Okay. We're not getting anywhere here, Tom. We're not getting anywhere here.
You're not. You're Joe.
We're not getting anywhere here because
you won't listen to me. High school football
you won't listen to me, Tom. What I'm saying is the president needs to cooperate with the process when it's fair. It appears to me it's taken a rather large step toward being fairer than it was, and I think he should demonstrate good faith by cooperating. If in the end he arbitrarily withholds information and is found in a court to have done so illegally, yes, he needs to be impeached.
All right. Tom, we'll give you the last word. Go right ahead.
Joe, I'm going to tell you exactly what I think. You're a liar.
Oh,
I know exactly what you said. You told me.
All right. We're not getting anywhere with this.
Thank you so much, Tom. I appreciate that.
Go back and listen to it. If I said that, I'll eat my hat, if I have a hat.
Well, you do when it's frigid cold and you're blowing snow.
Right.
So that's a woolly hat. That would be quite the...
It's one of those that pulls down and snaps around your ears. It's very warm.
Oh, like the Cossacks used to wear.
I think farmers wear them. That's why I got it at the farm tractor.
Anyway, Cindy, go right ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Now, I just want to express my frustration with what's gone on with the amendment to the Constitution that was proposed that protects victims' rights. And my frustration is this. In order to amend the Constitution here in Pennsylvania, which is what this whole thing, Marcy's Law, is about, you have to pass the identical legislation two sessions, not years, sessions in a row, which is at least 3 years and maybe longer. At which point, then, the question is put before the people and we vote on it. And where were these people who are against this all that time? Where were they? They wait until 3 weeks before, after it's been advertised repeatedly at great expense in all of the papers across the Commonwealth, after it's been discussed ad nauseum. Now at the 11th hour, they come out and block it. And for me, this just represents bad faith on the part of the ACLU and the league. That's how I see it. They had all this time in which to intervene, and they didn't do that. They just waited till the end, hoping to kill it.
Well, now Pennsylvania's highest court is telling the state election officials not to tally or certify the results of that referendum until the lawsuit is settled.
Right, which basically is going to kill this. So they're going to deny victims the right to be heard with regards to parole, the right to be heard with regards to release from prison, the right to be heard or not heard as they choose with regards to hearings and depositions. They're going to strip the victims of these rights. That's their goal. That's their game. And I'm astounded at the behavior of these organizations.
Well,
I'm astounded.
I voted for it this morning.
Going to vote for it, too.
The one thing that troubles me about it, though, is discovery. I think that you have a right to know what evidence there is against you. You have a right to look at it, to perhaps offer your own explanation. I would take that out of there, but everything else in the bill I can go for.
And I certainly think that a victim has the right to know that the person who attacked him or her is being released from prison.
You're right.
And therefore represents a threat to them again. I think they have every right to know that.
Couldn't agree with you more.
Very disappointing to me that they've done this. Very disappointing. I think it exemplifies a acting in bad faith. Believe me, they have the right to protest it, and they had umpteen years in which to do that, but they waited till the 11th hour so that they could block it, and that's just wrong.
I could understand the ACLU taking a stand on this, but the League of Women Voters seems a little odd to me. How did they get involved with it?
I understand some of them are saying it's not the same subject. You know, we have this clause in the Constitution that says that bills have to be on the same subject. Well, it all deals with victims' rights, which to me is the same subject.
Yeah,
but
right.
This is just like the legislators. Remember a few years ago or last year, so they walked us through this whole thing, twice passed a bill once passed a bill to reduce the size of the legislature. And they let us all believe that they were going to act in good faith to let this bill come before the people. And then what happened? At the 11th hour, they refused to vote on it to pass it a second time and stripped us of that opportunity. And it hasn't returned, has it? See, that's the game. You know, that's the game. They want to pretend, and that's really how I see it, they want to pretend that this is a democracy. Well, in a democracy, the people have the right to vote on what's happening. And what the government does repeatedly is strip us of or deny us the right to weigh in on these things. It's just like that we think you shouldn't be voting on judges. Very same thing. Stripping us of democracy and going more for this small number of people who consider themselves all-knowing to control government. That's what this is about.
All right. Okay. Noted.
I'm just saying. I'm real disappointed in the ACLU and the League. I think they acted in bad faith for the people of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. They should have raised these issues a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. They acted in bad faith. Thank you.
Fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you very much. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Let's see. We got all kinds of particular email. Let's do the impeachment stuff first.
Okay.
So that would all three texts.
One guy says, Trump's Twitter feed is his personal feed. The White House feed is the official feed.
That's actually not true. The courts have said since the president used his personal feed for the White House feed, that becomes the official feed. And in fact, they've made rulings that he has to allow people to reply to them. I mean, he can ignore the replies if he so chooses,
right.
But he can't block people. It has become, I understand, Stan, you're saying that it certainly makes sense that if he used his personal feed to, you know, talk about what he had for lunch and his son's books and so on, that would be fine. But he has chosen to use it as the official method of disseminating key information. That makes it de facto the White House feed, and now it's regulated.
Right. And Bob says, I agree, Trump is a lawless liar and stupid racist president.
Okay.
And then another writer says, Tom's TDS is really showing today.
Right, Trump
derangement syndrome.
Okay, which a lot of people suffer from on both sides of the aisle, whether they support him or not. There are certainly individuals who have Trump derangement syndrome on the Trump side who have kind of blinders on, or as Joe would say, beans in their ears.
Well, you know, they looked at yesterday, I think it was on CNN, that I saw a new poll that came out for battleground states. And while Trump is behind maybe 1 or 2 points with Biden, he's ahead of Warren.
Okay.
You know, so in the past they were saying, oh, every state, the Democrat, any Democratic candidate can beat him. Well, apparently that's not so true anymore. His approval level has stayed in the mid-40s, you know, so that's his base. He hasn't alienated his base.
Well, I can tell you at this time next year, President Trump will still be president.
You think so? I'm not so
because it'll still be 2020.
Oh, that's
but after
right. Oh,
2020,
very good. Oh,
it was a trick.
Right.
This time, 2 years from now, President Trump will still be president. Unfortunately,
you think? Okay,
we'll be prattling through yet more torture. Dale, you're on the mark. You got a minute?
Yeah. So, spring off what Cindy was saying about democracy, I think you know, the only thing we're doing is voting for people who you know have more entitlements and more perks. I mean, it's not going to change anything with the government for us. I think that democracy can't work for state government no more than 12 years because what you're happening is you're getting someone who's getting a free pension and free health care, and they have to work for it by putting more, suppressing the people. So the way the government's designed has nothing to do with people running. It's just doing their job. So I just say, you know, I think state government can't work for more than 12 years because after that, you know, they're getting a free lunch, they're getting free health care, they're getting free pension, all on the taxpayers' back. So I think true democracy can't work for state government more than 12 years, I believe.
All right, well, gotcha. Thank you. Boy, perfect timing. You say a minute, Dale takes it to heart. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence, subpar host of the show, superlative co-host in every way. Not here today, but Joe is in, so we appreciate that. Fabulous producer Rob Center is, you just could not be fabulouser. There's just no other standard that we could set without him, so we appreciate him, Mr. Rob Center. Matt Catrillo's over in the newsroom. He's just having a clackety-clack morning over there watching traffic. All traffic now fine. Harrisburg's got their big wreck cleared out that was there earlier today, and we do see Duke Street in Northumberland's back to normal with just the usual delay, sort of a cycle or two. Route 11 northbound, Route 54 westbound are all fine. Down in Harrisburg, we had a no-injury accident coming up the 83-283 split or interchange, depending upon which way you're in, and that is all cleared out. One of our listeners says on the topic of traffic, probably the Route 54, Route 11 light says a traffic light at the school could be the answer. The traffic light, when one line of traffic takes its turn, then the next line takes its turn, like a round robin style. At least a traffic study should be taken. Well, in Danville, they probably did that. They're getting some smart traffic lights. They already installed the one at Railroad Street and includes Pennsylvania's only blinking yellow arrow. So I think they're working on that. And I will testify that I recently went through Danville about 2 weeks ago and got stopped at every light. And I went through Danville over the weekend and got stuck at no lights. So it is possible. It's just pure luck. But I would say some of the smart traffic light implementation has happened. We could ask one of our good staffers who's on council in Danville, but he would say he does not know, so we're not going to do that. Let's see. That's it. We have some other
headlines.
Yes, we have some other emails pending, so we'll read those. We'll take more comers. Impeachment and the bad balloting in Pennsylvania and bad traffic have been our topic so far. The topic of your selection is fine. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-WD. KOK on the mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Please do check them out at sunburymotors.com before you buy another vehicle. Email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. If you're a Text Connect member, just reply to a previous message or start up a new one at 70236. If you have not yet signed up for Text Connect, we invite you to do so. We don't sell your number and we don't sell you anything, and your number remains confidential just on one computer here, and nobody else has access to it, and there's no commercial message associated with it. It's just one of the ways we reach out to you. We pay for the service, and you can join the thousands of people who have done so, where we send you a text connect message whenever there is breaking national news or local news, closed roads, or tornadic weather. That's an opportunity for you to enjoy a text connect message. Wouldn't be surprised if we get a text connect tonight after some of the election results start to come in. It's U.S. General Election Day, and two counties are debuting new voting machines. Snyder and Union counties have new voting machines today, though Union counties were tested during the 85th District special election in August that saw David Rowe take office. Today's election focused on state judges, county row office leaders, municipal government, school board, and township supervisors. Polls close at 8 o'clock. You are free to vote for or again the Victims Bill of Rights for the state constitution, but the results won't be tallied, as you heard the argument on the WKOK in the last minute. Two voter rights groups stepped forward and said that they had questions about that and did not want it to take effect. Child abuse cases continue to rise in the Valley and across Pennsylvania's Matt Cotrillo reports. State lawmakers say there's got to be something that can be done.
Monday, state lawmakers heard from various caseworkers, medical officials, and others during the second annual Pennsylvania Children's Hospital's Child Abuse Summit hosted by Geisinger. One case discussed was the ongoing Treverton child abuse case that has a three-year-old girl fighting for her life. Valley State Representative Kurt Mosser, a State House Leadership Committee member, was part of the three-person state legislative panel.
A case like that that happened in Treverton is just, it really wakes the community up. It wakes the people up in your district to say, hey, what's going on here? What can we do as a community to solve this problem? So it just sort of puts that spark in the people in your area.
Despite amendments to the Child Protective Services law in December 2014, statewide child abuse reports increased from 1.8 per thousand children in 2017 to 1.9 per thousand in 2018. State Representative Tara Tuhill from Luzerne County was also on the panel as a member of the PA House Children and Youth Committee. She says protecting children ages 0 through 5 from abuse is the most difficult.
Age 0 to 5, it's very difficult because sometimes they're seen by a doctor, but abused or neglected children, and they're not always seen. They're not kindergarten age yet, so it makes it difficult to identify if there is abuse.
Tuhill says counties need more help as well.
Counties need more people that go into social work, more people that become caseworkers, because they need more workers on the ground.
Three arrests have been made following the incident. The girl, Arabella Parker, remains in critical condition at Geisinger. Matt Cotrillo, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
President Donald Trump has accused former Vice President Joe Biden of major ethical lapses and railed against Biden's son for allegedly profiting from his father's office. But yesterday, President Trump used his official White House Twitter feed to publicize a new book by his eldest son, Donald Trump Jr., telling his 66 million followers that they should go order it today, exclamation point. Then, quote, my son, at Donald J. Trump Jr., is coming out with a new book, Triggered, How the Left Thrives on Hate and Wants to Silence Us, unquote. It's available tomorrow. Trump wrote this Monday, so it'll be available today. He calls it a great new book that I highly recommend for all to read. That's the kind of promotional tweet that would be a violation of ethics rules if it had come from any federal employee other than the president, says Lisa Hempowitz, the director of public policy at the Project on Government Oversight, a nonpartisan government watchdog group. So the president, of course, enriching his family. Of course, isn't that the accusation against the Bidens?
Oh, yes. Brother. As a matter of fact, it is.
Well, and Donald Trump's going to be the next president, so that all of this will be moot. Let's see. Finally, President Donald Trump's U.S. Justice Department has sent a letter to the publisher and literary agency of the anonymous government official whose book is scheduled to come out later this month. The letter raises questions over whether any confidentiality agreement has been violated and asked for information that could help reveal the author's identity. The publisher, Hatchet Book Group.
Appropriately named.
Yeah.
The Hatchet Book
right,
Group.
I agree.
Hatchet Job, Hatchet Books.
Well, this is a good book.
You know that Hatchet, for a fact?
And it's spelled H-A-C-H-E-T-T-E.
Well, I would change my name if I owned that company.
Hachette. It's probably Hachette Book Group.
Well, that in itself sounds pretty sketchy.
Hachette. Anyway, they responded Monday by saying it would provide no information information beyond calling the author a current or former senior official, unquote. The book, A Warning, is by the official who wrote an essay published last year in the New York Times alleging that numerous people in the government were resisting the misguided impulses of President Donald Trump. News of the Justice Department letter was first reported by CNN. A Warning has a November 19th release date. The DOJ letter, dated Monday, is from the Assistant Attorney General Joseph Hunt and addressed to Hachette General Counsel Carol Ross and to Keith Urban.
I like you better when you called it Hatchet.
Okay, the Hatchet Group. Anyway, so it was sent to their literary agents.
Hachette.
So. I don't know. Who knows? But in any event, okay, so if the president uses the U.S. Justice Department to investigate this book that criticizes his administration, is that a violation of any law, in your view?
I don't know, but what bothers me is that someone would publish a book by anonymous. If you have an opinion, stand by it. If you know something...
Yeah, but what if you're currently working in the White House and you don't wish to be
what
ousted?
What about we're all praising the whistleblower as being this courageous... Well, not all of us, but they're saying what a courageous act that was. The Democrats just saying this is a man of strong moral
whistleblowers are viewed as courageous.
All right, well, here's a whistleblower who wrote a book and chooses to call himself anonymous.
Right, that's the protection that people...
But he's not claiming whistleblower status.
Well, okay, not officially, but he has inside information. But all it does is describe
But we
factual...
got past that here in this country. Years ago in the political system, we wrote anonymous pamphlets, and people used names like Publicus or,
Joe.
What do you expect? I'm
there
over here lying.
There you go again.
They don't call me Lion Joe for nothing.
Okay. Well, as long as we're clear on that. All right. 1-800-795-9565. Timely email. Read that.
Yes. This one is addressed to you. Stop, Mark. You can't talk sense to Trump supporters. They will defend the criminal idiot all the way to jail. I don't know what the power he has over them. I think it's fear. And yes, Joe, Harry Truman was an honest gentleman and a Democrat. All the accusations that were thrown at Obama and now Biden without any transcripts or legitimate evidence... Just crazy!
Exclamation point. That's anonymous, too. So so you would like the whistleblower law to be altered in such a way that somebody who comes...
The whistleblower is one thing. The book writer, anonymous, is another.
So the whistleblower can stay anonymous, although you wish him to anonymously face the president,
correct?
Well,
for example, how do we know who's vetted this anonymous author and what he wrote? Has anybody checked to see whether or not there's any substance to it? If I wrote a book anonymous and I said I have absolute proof that President Obama was born in Nigeria, can you imagine the left would be, through the roof? Where's proof? You know, this guy's a liar. He's a nut. I don't know what this guy's going to say about the president. It probably isn't going to be anything very good.
Well, I don't.
It may be true,
really,
but it should be investigated.
I'm sure there is some vetting now. Whether it's adequate or not, I have no idea. But fact is, I don't think this is really critical of the president. If the description is accurate and you base it on what was in the New York Times, it's just describing what some individuals what some well-meaning individuals in the White House are doing. It doesn't sound like they ignore the president's direct orders, but it does sound like, they either drag their feet when he tells them to do something that's either wrong, immoral, or illegal, or they don't carry out actual policies that they know are illegal. They just ignore them, and maybe it'll go away. So that's my impression, which I don't think that's really critical of the Trump administration. I'm sure President Obama had people in his administrations that would drag their feet if they wanted him to do something if the president wanted them to do something that they thought was wrong.
Well, I mean, I think you do have a moral obligation to, if you see something criminal or something you question, to report it. And there should be a mechanism in place to protect you if you do so.
Okay.
I think we both can agree on that.
And that's the whistleblower law, and it allows you to stay anonymous.
But I do think that, it needs to be checked to determine whether or not you had some partisan reason for doing this. In other words, we at least should investigate enough to make sure that what you said is true.
Well, this whistleblower in the Trump administration came forward and said that the president is, for political purposes, asking the Ukraine to investigate Hunter Biden, who's the son of his then main political rival. I'm not quite sure that he is the main guy anymore. But in any event, and that some Ukrainian aid was held up for a time.
Well, you know, if that's the case and that they determine that's an impeachable offense.
But that's being vetted. That's what the whole impeachment's about.
But I don't think it's being vetted so much as it is a partisan tool. There's got to be some way to assure nonpartisanship in this stuff.
Mm. Well, and we haven't
No matter
seen
whether it's a Republican or a Democrat, I mean, we've got to find a way to be fair.
We haven't seen the articles of impeachment. We certainly think the Ukrainian extortion, if you want to call it that, would certainly be a
But they all claimed they had all this proof about
possible.
Collusion, you know, with the Russians. And the Mueller report was going to bring all this stuff
well,
up.
That, but
Adam Schiff said, I have absolute proof the president
Well, the president's not innocent of that. It's just that no one is charged, except the president would certainly be guilty of it. But trouble
but
is,
the minute, the
he's
minute the
president.
The Ukrainian thing came along, that went by the boards. Oh, hey, here's a better shot.
Well, what are they supposed to do? The report is out. If the people were, if the Democrats were handling the Mueller report appropriately, what would they do?
Look, I don't think there has ever been an instance where a president hasn't used a quid pro quo, for good or ill, to get a foreign country to do what he wanted to do with our money.
Right. No argument there. But what about in exchange for investigating a political rival?
Well, so what's acceptable then? If it's not, if that's not acceptable, what is acceptable? What quid pro quo can I apply for giving you millions of dollars in aid that you'd find acceptable?
So this, you admit then that this is a mild extortion that happens all the time?
Well, it is extortion. I mean, you could make an argument that every business transaction is an extortion.
What?
Because I have to give you money in order to get what I want from you.
So you think exchange and extortion mean the same thing?
I think the definition is so close that
you must be a great guy at Walmart. I refuse to be oppressed by this extortion. I will not pay a dollar for an item valued at a dollar. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Joe's going to look up extortion.
I know the difference.
Think criminal, though, as you look up the
I
definition.
Will.
All right, we do have some texts. We got some emails. One relates to it's okay to be white. Another relates to the hunting on Sunday. Another relates to, it's from Congressman Fred Keller. I do not recall the topic of that, but we'll certainly read it. And we have Joe Kansas' emails about community college. So call us, text us, email us now, and you'll get in the queue. 1-800-795-9565 is the live telephone hotline. Joe needs a primer on what extortion versus cash exchange for goods and services is. And
I was trying to make a point that
they are similar. Okay. I guess so. One just happens to have a big hammer
over
your head.
So the question is, all right, so if I say to you, I want $5,000 from you, or I'm going to kidnap your cat. Or I'm kidnapping your cat, I want $5,000 to return it. You know, in addition to kidnapping, that's also extortion.
I'm going to come up with the money.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. Let's start out with texts, Joe. Start
okay.
at the bottom, I
the
believe.
Bottom, he says, don't government employees and the security agencies have to have any book written, vetted by those agencies to be sure no state secrets are released? Without knowing who this author is, how can this be done? And then another writer says, I believe Harry Truman would be rolling in his grave with the path the Democratic Party has taken. And finally, Mark, why are you continuing to propagate the Ukrainian lie? There was no quid pro quo with Trump and Ukraine, but Biden and the Obama administration also absolutely did. Biden admitted to it on film.
All right, Steve, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing?
We're hanging in.
Well, I'm going to try to get this out, and I fall on deaf ears. I expect Joe is going to disregard it, and I know your listeners are going to disregard it. I will try anyway. Joe says there's always a quid pro quo in international relations. Now, in the case of Vice President Biden, yes, there was a quid pro quo. The vice president said, we are not going to give you loan guarantees unless you get rid of that prosecutor. Now, the prosecutor, number one, this was not a quid pro quo to benefit Vice President Biden. The American government wanted that prosecutor out. The International Monetary Fund wanted that prosecutor out. Our allies around the world wanted that prosecutor out. And anti-corruption forces in the Ukraine wanted that prosecutor out. So that was not a quid pro quo to benefit Vice President Biden. In the case of President Trump, the quid pro quo is completely different. Trump said, you are not getting those Javelin missiles unless you dig up dirt on one of my political rivals. That's a quid pro quo to directly benefit President Trump.
But he did not say that he wanted them to dig up dirt. He wanted them to launch an investigation. There's a distinction there.
Well, so, you know, nobody, you know, I nobody can parse words as well as you. It must be an innate talent that you have. I don't want you to dig up dirt. I just want you to launch an investigation. What do you think they'd be investigating? They'd be investigating the possibility of dirt.
And, of course, the Ukrainian prosecutor was investigating Hunter Biden, and Joe wanted him out.
Number one, I think your timeline is not correct, because the first prosecutor, who I think his name was Shokin, I don't even know that he and Hunter Biden were in office at the same time. I'm not even sure the prosecutor was in office when Hunter Biden was on the board of Burisma. So I'm not sure of that. But the investigation was not into Hunter Biden. The investigation was into the company Burisma, the Ukrainian energy company. Plus, there have been umpteen investigations of Hunter Biden. No evidence of wrongdoing has been found.
He is an internationally respected expert on gas in the Ukraine, right? I mean, any company would have wanted him because of his vast knowledge of Ukraine's gas situation.
No, Joe. The truth is that any time you are the child of a high political official, everybody is after you. Do you think Hunter Biden is the first son of a vice president?
No, I don't.
A post on a board just because his father is the vice president?
But they wanted a quid pro quo. They were hoping to gain something in return for putting an unqualified person on their payroll exorbitant amount of money.
Okay, great. So now we're not even talking about quid pro quo.
Oh, we are.
Quid pro quos involving Biden or Trump. Now we're talking about quid pro quos involving this energy company, Burisma. Right. And you know what? Joe Biden, let me try to get this out too. Joe Biden was named to a very prestigious post at the University of Delaware. Now, I know one of your callers, when this was brought up, said, well, what is Joe Biden? Why is he getting that prestigious post? It's because, in this case, the University of Delaware wants a quid pro quo. They want people to think more highly of them because they have a vice president in some prestigious post. I think, wasn't Milton Eisenhower, you would know this, Joe, wasn't Milton Eisenhower the president of Penn State for a period of time?
No, not Penn State, the University of Pennsylvania, I think it was.
Very good. Thank you. That's another one of your talents, Joe. You know your stuff when it comes to history. Okay, Milton Eisenhower, named president, University of Pennsylvania. Was Milton Eisenhower, was he even a teacher? Did he know anything about the classroom? Or is it possible that the University of Pennsylvania thought, this will look terrific if we have the brother of a president of the United States as our president.
But you're making my case. You're making my case for me. People do something because they want something in return. Now we're quibbling over whether or not what they want is a value to the society.
No, that's not what we're disagreeing about. The disagreement is what is legal, what is ethical, and what is not. Sure, there's always a quid pro quo. If I go and do work for somebody, I want a quid pro quo. I want a paycheck. Okay? But I don't go up to that person with a hammer and say, I'm going to hit you in the head. Here's the quid pro quo. If you give me money, I will not hit you in the head. That's a quid pro quo.
No, that's extortion. That's extortion. There's the difference Mark asked me about earlier.
Well, then you've made my point. What Donald Trump did was extortion.
Except that Donald Trump has an absolute right to control the foreign policy of this country, for whatever means. If he's done something wrong, he should be prosecuted. He should be impeached. He should be convicted. But I don't think that this raises. But you're not hearing me. I don't think that even if it was a quid pro quo, I don't think that rises to a level of an impeachable offense. It's not what I would consider a high crime or a misdemeanor.
I see. So the government of Ukraine wants to defend itself against a Russian invasion with Javelin missiles, and Donald Trump says, no, you're not getting those missiles to defend yourself unless you give me dirt on my political rival. You don't think that's a crime? You see nothing wrong with that?
I think morally it's probably wrong, but I don't know that it's a crime from the standpoint of we had no obligation to give them anything. There is nothing in our Constitution that says we have to give the Ukraine means to defend itself.
No, you're absolutely right, Joe. The Constitution that was written over 200 years ago says nothing about Russia, says nothing about Javelin missiles, says nothing about international relations. Boy, you nailed it.
It says nothing about us having to give people foreign aid. That was created along the way.
That's right. And so when we have an adversary like Russia that is trying to disrupt everything from elections in the United States to goodness knows, we have no obligation, no responsibility to even take a look at it, get involved in it. We should just let Russia do whatever it wants.
Wow, you're on the other side of an argument where I'm surprised to find you there. You're advocating for our active military involvement in foreign affairs, and I thought you were opposed to that, Steve.
All right, Steve, go ahead. Steve, wrap up.
A country like Russia, number one, its first crime, or biggest crime, I guess, is trying to, take charge of our elections. I think we need to pay attention to that. But we are really getting way off the base here. We started out talking about quid pro quos. And I'm just trying to give you my side that the quid pro quo that Biden asked for, because he did, was not to benefit him personally. It was to benefit the international community, the Ukraine, etc.
But it also effectively stopped the investigation into his son by that prosecutor.
Well, see, that's where I don't think I'm not even sure you're correct there, because I think that investigation was done. We don't even have our timelines together on that. Who was Biden? Was Biden on the board when Shokin was prosecutor? Was the investigation in Burisma over?
Well, Shokin says that's why. Shokin said that his investigation is why he was let go.
All right, we got to move on, men. Steve, we'll give you one brief last word. Go right ahead.
No, that's fine. I just wanted to get it out.
And Joe did not listen to you. So
I always listen to Steve.
Fake news is out there.
All right, we'll talk later.
Thanks,
Thank you so much. Take a break. We'll be right back. Got callers waiting. We shall return. Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the mark, 1-800-795-9565. Who's next? Okay, Paul, stand by. Joe, why don't you do the top and the bottom? Well, I guess do the texts.
All right, the texts. Let's see. Laughing out loud, the supposed corrupt prosecutor was investigating the oil company that Hunter Biden was a board member of, and so, yes, Joey Biden was benefiting his son by having the investigation stopped. Another one says, I get it. Everything Trump does is illegal, but everything Biden and Obama did was legal. And finally, good morning. We give foreign aid to other countries to stand up for the United States of America. This keeps the USA safer. Trump is selling the USA out.
All right. Paul, you're on the mark.
Joe, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't
you're wrong.
The last president that was allowed not to accept money in public appearances, writing books, making speeches, and it wasn't until 1954 when they had a Republican president who was Dwight D. Eisenhower, and then they passed the legislation that the president could be paid for all those things that the Truman administration could not.
I thought you said Clinton earlier.
No. No, he was too modern.
Well, there weren't opportunities before. I mean, a lot of presidents died shortly after they left office, or they had other things they were doing, like Teddy Roosevelt went on a long trip to the Africa, and when he came back, he ran for president again and lost, you know. So the opportunities to make big bucks weren't as prevalent back then as they are today. So I'm not certain that any law was passed. Maybe there was, but I'm not aware of it. Harry Truman just chose on his own. He even paid for his own postage stamps until the Congress found out about it and gave him an allowance. He was the first person to get a presidential allowance or pension, if you will.
Yeah, but Trump, as long as he has got this thing going for him, is free advertisement because the taxpayers is paying for him to be where he is.
Right. He gets the name recognition, but that doesn't mean he has to go to Trump hotels all the time or the Doral Country Club or other places.
But we've never had a president who owned a large ongoing enterprise.
Right. But we could have one now that does the right thing, but we don't have that. We don't have one that we could have one that would avoid ingratiating himself with the profits of the federal government.
Okay.
But this president would not choose to do that.
In that case, make it a law that a president cannot use his prestige in order to promote his business while he is in office.
All right. I'm on board. You okay with that, Joe?
So what if he's an attorney? And so many of our presidents have been attorneys. What if he was an attorney? And he leaves office and people come to his office?
No, while he's in office, not when he's out of office.
Well, he's not practicing law. The president turned over put his money in a trust.
Go ahead, Paul. Last word. Go ahead.
Okay. But the whole thing in a nutshell is this man is defying the law as it is written in the Constitution.
Well said. Thank you. We'll leave it at that.
What law in the Constitution is he?
I don't know. Emoluments clause, extortion laws, subpoena laws, political activity laws, if you're a federal employee.
I don't think they're all in the Constitution.
I know.
I think they're laws that were
created by
man.
I think they're just laws. Right, and the president is defying them, as Paul aptly stated. You want to read that?
Let's see. Interesting. Oh, no, this one, the new one that just came in. Joe, often sometimes will mention to you how every time some brings up the president and any area where a violation of sorts might have happened, your defense, well, what about Obama or Clinton, well, almost without fail? How do you think that would work as a defense in a trial today? The defense attorney, well, you left John Doe get away with it. We get it. You're not going to be critical of Donald Trump. He can do no wrong in your eyes. Lou Dobbs now says that Trump is a better president than George Washington. Sadly, Trump now believes that to be true. I have heard people say he was mandated by God. If they keep feeding his ego, he will never get his head through a standard-sized doorway. Good point.
All right. Stan, you're on the mark. Thanks for waiting.
Well, you know, Steve calls up and says that Trump's, you know, said that no javelins unless you do what I say you do, you know, dig up dirt or investigate Biden's men. Well, that was never said. Now, unless he was listening to CNN or C-SPAN when old Shifty got up there and did his opening statement, you know, with a transcript that, you know, said that what was in the transcript that actually wasn't in the transcript, if he was believing that, well, then maybe he needs to have a little you know, education or get checked out by somebody to believe that crap. So, yes, the Javelin missiles were sold to Ukraine. As somehow that's wrong, and Obama not selling them to them at all that was okay, you know, because it wasn't in the national interest then, he says. And Trump, you know, doing what he did, that wasn't in a national security interest, but selling them, you know, but he did sell. So I'm confused as to what's right, what's wrong these days. You know, it's okay for the left to say that, you know, everything Obama did was just hunky-dory, peachy fine, and everything Trump does is bad. You know, it's confusing.
I think that's an accurate summary.
It is confusing. But, you know, we have so many people get on me, as our last writer did, because I remind them of other instances where other presidents have done something similar. And the thing is, they all say, well, this is not a traditional president. This is a man who's breaking the mold. But when you point out the fact that he's adhering to the mold in certain areas, they don't want to hear it.
Yeah, and he's probably following the Constitution closer than anybody else. You know, you talk about whistleblowers. Obama fired the guy that blew the whistle on the Fast and Furious scandal with the Justice Department and the ATF allowing guns to be purchased by criminals down there in the Southwest and being shipped over to Mexico by the drug cartels. He fired him. But you didn't hear an uproar about that. And Obama, you know, failed to comply with subpoenas about all the information, a lot of information about that. And you don't hear any complaints about that at the time. You know, the Republicans complained, but they didn't do nothing to, you know, to force their hand. You know, they left it go, which is on the Republicans. But, you know, the news media, they were all okay with it. Democrats, they were all okay with it. I don't quite understand the double standard. But I guess what, as they say, if they didn't have any double standards, they'd have none at all. So that pretty much explains it.
That's funny.
Yeah. Well, you got a good point, Stan.
All right.
You know, I don't get it. So some days maybe somebody will be able to explain it to me and, you know, in something to make sense. But Steve sure hasn't. I mean, he's just swallowing the Kool-Aid that the Democrats are feeding them, you know, with a lie. So someday he'll figure it out.
Well,
Thank you. Stand by, Stan.
Chris is up next. I'm sure he'll have something to set you straight.
All right, but in the meantime, we got to talk about the Sunbury Motor Company. We invite you to do what I just did at Sunbury Motor Company, and that's go to sunburymotors.com, and I have picked out the new Ranger. It's going to be the Raptor version, which is ultra-fast with the sleeker lines, and it does have a full 6-foot bed and double rows of seats. It's practically an F-150, but it's not. It gets better gas mileage. It's going to last longer. It's a wonderful truck, and it's all tricked out. It has a sunroof, has a power rear window, has a lift kit already built on, and a trailer backing up towing mode thingamabob so that I don't have to ever learn how to tow trailers again and back them up. They have a better name for it, but it also has the automatic braking in case of emergency. It has a lane holder to keep you in the lane. It's got it all. Now, it is a little bit above 40 grand, but I'll tell you what, when you go to the Sunbury Motor Company and say, hey, I have this particular truck, this gorgeous Ranger from yesteryear that we want to trade in that's in perfect condition, they'll take that, give you top dollar for that, they'll get you squared away, and you'll be happy that you talk to Mike DeFeo or Jeff Clock or Mickey Anselmo or Jason Benfer or Ernie or Austin or one of the fine folks at the Sunbury Motor Company. And that's just one truck. Imagine what they can do with all the other vehicles that are out there in the world that are ready for replacement. Sunbury Motor Company, please check them out, sunburymotors.com.
What When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Or a Wonderful Ford.
Okay, thank you. I wonder what you were saying. 1-800-795-9565.
Well, we were talking about a Lincoln pickup truck, and I said, who would want to throw stuff in the back of a beautiful Lincoln?
Well, I didn't say they come back to the shop scratched up. I'm just saying that they do have a pickup truck with the 6-foot
I want the regular I want the regular Navigator.
You want the SUV.
I want the SUV. Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Chris, you're on the mark for Milton.
Yeah, in that first case of Ukraine and that happened in Ukraine, the president, Poroshenko at the time, who probably had Russian connections himself, said that they put in a box the Manafort investigation in order that no information would come out about it. And they stopped cooperating with Mueller, and they let a guy Mueller wanted to interview go to Russia. And they put effectively squelching the Mueller investigation into Manafort's activities during the election. Then, and he said, we did this because we didn't want to irritate the president, who were depending on to get the Javelin missiles. Poroshenko actually said that. Now, it's not clear whether Trump actually asked for that personally, and it's not clear that Rudy, who was over there right before it happened, talking to people, might have suggested it. But that's the reason it was done was not to irritate Trump, and so they could get their Javelin missiles. In the second case, Trump was asking not for something that would make America more secure or better or something that was good for America or even good for Ukraine, but he asked for what he really wanted was a public announcement that they were investigating Biden so he could crow about it and have something to use a suspicion of corruption on Biden. And it was based on a totally crazy theory about the server being over there, and the server isn't anything that you can even get over there. A server is mostly in the cloud these days. It's a crazy conspiracy theory. But he was asking for something that would influence American elections. And that, if you read the Federalist Papers, they were very concerned about a president using foreign powers that way. That was one of the things. The emoluments clause, in terms of just getting money, was also involved with, because it is a thing of value to Trump to have that in his campaign. So he was asking for something to affect the American elections in return for the Javelins. That's what makes it a high crime. That's almost the very definition of a high crime.
Okay, I think you're wrong on one thing. I think that servers, you know, you can have a server in your backyard if you want one there.
But you're right on everything else.
Look what they do for servers. If you look how people investigate servers, they don't take anything physical. They take all the
data. The data could be in the cloud.
The server
yes.
has made in order to do an investigation. All the electronic trail and record. That's how you investigate how leaks came about, who was contacting the server, and how it got in. You don't actually take anything physical.
Well, okay, but you have to put it on something physical. You have to put it on something physical in order to take it.
Well, yeah. Well, you have a download of it. Yes.
Okay, we're in agreement
a copy
there.
Of it. But why the FBI had a copy of it, CrowdStrike had a copy of it, and what would Ukraine be doing with it anyway? It makes no sense at all.
Well, must to somebody, they brought it up.
But anyway, that's the high crime, is trying to affect him using aid that was voted on by Congress and signed and approved by the president and the Pentagon to hold it up until he got. Requesting a political favor for himself.
Are you aware of the fact that he held up foreign aid to those three countries in South America because he wanted them to do something about immigration? Was that a high crime and misdemeanor?
No.
Why not?
Because he didn't have them investigating his political rivals in exchange for releasing.
But he wanted something from them that they didn't want to do.
Immigration policies is something that might benefit America.
All right, but getting to the bottom of whether or not he was improperly accused of something could benefit America, too.
All right, wrap it up, Chris.
How is squashing an investigation?
Well, he wasn't squashing it. He was trying to get it started.
He was trying to get it started. Right. He was trying to get an announcement of an investigation. He wanted the president to publicly announce the publication. And it's not just a phone call. He was sending Rudy over with the same messages.
Well,
I still think
that most of our foreign aid is based on a quid pro quo.
But for something good for the country, not something to affect American elections.
All right, Chris, wrap it up. 30
so
seconds.
When President Obama fired the whistleblower on Fast and Furious, that was good for the nation?
I'm not sure that's exactly accurate.
Okay.
But first of all, I don't think there's any evidence that an order came from Obama to fire him. I think that was an FBI move.
So you don't think that Obama went to the FBI and said, I want this guy out?
Well, there's no evidence of that I've seen, no.
Well, there's no evidence that he didn't.
Well,
you're
going to assert it as fact when there's no evidence either way?
No, you choose to give him the benefit of the doubt, and you question anybody who disagrees with you.
What?
I just said it. We got to go.
All right. Thank you so much, Chris.
that makes no sense at all. I never.
Yes, it does. Call tomorrow.
All right, thank you so much.
Take care, Chris.
Appreciate the call. I don't know. Where do you go?
I don't know.
You don't have time for this.
Well, we have, what, a minute or 2 minutes?
Well, launch into it. Go, go, go.
All right. I cannot imagine the people who call into your program are so against this president. He's done so much for this country. It's putting people to work who couldn't find jobs or were too lazy to get them. It used to be easy to hop on the free ride train. He's rebuilt the military to protect our country. The economy is booming. Anyone check their 401ks lately? Oh, no. These complainers don't have a 401k and are believing the BS from the Democrats who think their plans for freebies for everyone will work at the expense of hardworking Americans who plowed out to work every day and save for their golden years, and the expense of millionaires who own these companies providing employment for us. All those employers will certainly pass their expense on to us. You will lose your hours of working, be laid off, or the businesses that are providing jobs will either close in America or go to another country. You complainers are ridiculous. If you think the socialist way is the best way, it will be the demise of our country. Oh yes, you can imagine the lines to see a doctor, or if there will be any doctors.
All right, we'll read the last paragraph of the way too long email, but a fabulous email from the smartest woman in the world tomorrow. Thank you, Joe, for coming in.
Happy to be here.
Tomorrow we'll enjoy Open Phones Wednesday, and we have some pent-up demand for emails. We'll read those, too.
Tomorrow they'll pick on you.
WKOK Sunbury.